So, as we know, Bill and Melinda Gates are getting a divorce.
Yeah. Yep.
And shit is starting to come out. Because I do feel like we did have this image of like, of all the billionaires, Bill Gates is the least shitty one.
Benevolent right? billionaire.
Which we all knew deep yeah, inside.
No such thing.
Was bullshit, right? Yep. And so things have been coming out slowly but surely. And like there's rumors that Melinda is leaving him because of his association with Jeffrey Epstein and right, like all right. of these things. But, and all that's terrible, okay?
Yes.
Google it. Absolutely. Google it on your own time. But the thing that got me was that for the last several years of their marriage, which no shame in it, but I find it interesting and I want your opinions.
Okay.
For the last several years of their marriage, Bill Gates had a hall pass to go to his beach house one weekend a year with his ex. It was very specific. It it wasn't like I have a hall pass one weekend a year to go to my beach house and fuck anybody. It was like I have a hall pass one weekend a year to go to my beach house specifically with this one woman.
Wow.
Well,
who I used to date.
I personally wouldn't love that.
Don't
that
hate
would
it.
Not
or don't love it. Yeah. Yeah. No, don't love it. Don't love it.
Listen, like I have been in non-traditional, non-monogamous relationships and that sort of thing before. Mm-hmm. So I do think that going one weekend a year to sleep with an ex is personally more appealing to me than hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein.
100%.
I mean,
100%. I've never heard of a hall pass situation that was so
specific.
Because to me, look, do what you do. Marriages are different. Yeah. You know, whatever works for y'all works for y'all.
Yeah.
But I really feel like, why would you make it so specific? Like, why wouldn't you be like, let's make a deal that one weekend a year we get a hall pass?
We. Right.
Both. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I ain't giving 100. Them if I ain't getting them. You know what I'm right. saying? What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
That's right.
Basically, I'm calling people up too. But
none of my exes. I feel like that is a recipe for something that could grow into a lot of resentment within a relationship because it's someone you've dated before.
Right.
And it's so highly specific.
Right.
That, like, even if you're. Husband came and asked you, not can I have a hall pass once a year, but can I have a hall pass with this person that I dated before you once a year? Oof. I feel like that would feel very like, ugh.
Yeah.
Well, like gutting.
Not only that, I mean, it's come out that he was like messaging employees and stuff like that.
Come
so,
on, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
when no person Bill. Should have that much power. That's the problem. Right. Like, what is
Kanye
it? Absolute power it. Corrupts absolutely.
Correct.
Like, where it's just like people aren't supposed to have that much money. They're not supposed to have that much power, period. Like,
right.
even if you started out as a good person, you are no longer on Earth. Like, you are somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. His reality is so different from the one that we live
That's
in.
That's right.
It's just like...
You think?
A little
you
bit.
You think so?
Yeah.
I was thinking about spending $15 at lunch. I'm like, you are moving. Maybe you could just find something to eat at home.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yes. 100%. We're not even in the same stratosphere.
No. Do you know how much I wild out if I find a 20?
Oh, my God.
I then spend like $150.
Yes.
That's how excited
100%.
I am.
You're like, it's basically $20 off. I know. I found a $20 bill while hiking in Runyon. You Ooh. Would have thought I won the fucking lottery.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
who just finds
$20? $20 is an incredible amount to find.
Just find.
Yeah.
To find.
Right?
It's...
Oh, God bless.
He's like cleaning out pockets and like, oh, there's that $100.
Yeah. Oh, I misplaced that. Yeah. As if it's like a $1
bill.
Like,
oh, I needed a napkin. And then
just
blows his nose in it.
Like, I really don't feel like people who defend billionaires understand how much money that is.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I know.
We can't fathom it.
You can't even look. If you are middle class, upper middle class, or below, you cannot, your brain is unable to comprehend.
You don't know that.
The amount of money that these people have. Like, you cannot.
It's one of the things that's so interesting about America is how We all think that we could be, though.
Yeah.
Of course.
Know what I mean?
If we just thought positively enough toward it.
Yeah. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
That's right.
You too can be a millionaire.
The secret told me.
Your secret. My vision board. But no.
Hundreds on it.
It's seriously like it's ingrained
in our culture.
In our culture.
It very much is that individualism that like if I can make it here, I can make it anywhere kind of like mentality that it's like all on you to be successful. And that it's an, you know, it took me a long time as an adult to grow past that idea that it's all an even playing field and everybody has the same opportunities. Because well, it's like, no, you don't.
We were raised by American Tale. Fievel.
Yes, Fievel told us, he went west.
But even before he went west, he came to America. Where there were no cats in America.
Yep. Oh my God, you are taking me back.
Yeah.
Oh,
there are no cats in America.
Oh God.
Fievel. That. Do yourself a favor if you have not watched either of the Fievel movies, please.
So good.
But
it's the same guy that did All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Oh,
too.
God. The movie that ruined us all collectively.
No, the movie that ruined us all collectively
Fox
was
Fox and the Hound.
Oh, that was a good one, too. But I was thinking is the one with the dinosaurs. The
Land Before Time.
Oh, go fuck yourself with Land Before Time.
Oh, golly shit.
Jesus. Oh. Land Before Time is
wreck. That
will ruin your life.
I don't know that I've ever cried so much as a child.
I'm like getting emotional thinking
about
it.
Are you thinking about the little baby? Like stars? She gave him leaf stars full of water and that's what he would like drink water out. Oh my God, shut up. Oh, the long necks. Oh, I'm dying.
Oh, the long necks.
Cry right now.
I know. We got some good stuff like for childhood movies.
Sure,
when you think about it.
They did not worry about our like traumatizing us at all though, like at all. Because
like
they gave us the worst shit. Like, I mean, the best shit, but also like
devastating.
You're gonna think about this until you die.
And I'm telling you, an American Tale has led us as children to believe that anybody can make it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It is part of our bootstraps culture that absolutely raised us to believe that America is the land of the dreams.
Oh yeah. I mean, and there was a lot of things like that when we were growing up, I feel like we were fed that very often.
Oh yeah.
Especially in the 90s, which was very post-racial. It was like
we
were all kind
I
of
don't see race.
Yeah, that was the line. Yep. I feel like Gen Z doesn't understand what it was like to grow up like that. Like, because it's so in your face now, all of this being very aware of that stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We didn't get that at all. And it was, you had this belief that like everybody has the same opportunities in America. And it's not true.
No.
It's not true. And then it leads to a lot of, we wonder why there's such a high rate of like depression.
Yeah.
You know, and other things, because then you're like, why? There must be something wrong with me personally that I can't be as successful as that person over there, you know?
Well, and then, you know, there's so much in our culture that poverty is a moral failure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is so not true.
Not true.
And
it's set up
all.
That way.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. We can go on and on.
Oh, we legitimately could.
Okay. So another thing that I wanted to touch on here. Speaking of rich people.
Okay.
So Kourtney Kardashian is dating Travis Barker, which I feel like already we haven't discussed and we should.
Yes.
Dude, I'm sorry. I'm going to go out on a limb. He did that drum over Soulja Boy, I was like, I had a massive.
No, he's weirdly hot in a way he shouldn't be. And
exactly.
I don't get it.
Thank you. I was so embarrassed. It does not make sense.
No, we should all be embarrassed. And I don't know why.
God damn.
Is it talent? It must be talent.
When he's just pounding on those fucking cymbals, I was like,
yeah. Hot drummers better be our FMK.
Pussy, please. Hot drummers?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, it's our opportunity for Grohl.
Oh, shit. Yes! We got Tommy Lee, Grohl, and Travis Barker.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. However, these two are dating. Weirdly to me, I was like, okay. Like, it kind of makes sense to me. He's had a history of dating, like, hot women. And I'm like, all right, I get it.
Tracks.
And, you know, she, of all the Kardashians, kind of goes for, like, a little bit.
Rough.
Maybe not Scott, but you know,
okay,
outside of that. And so I was like, whatever. There's that picture. She's in like a teeny tiny thong.
And his hands on her thighs. Like, oh, he got her lifted.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. What I'm not here for.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Is that he has a rich people. Am I right?
Okay.
He has purchased a $75 candle that smells like her cooch.
Is it sandalwood?
That's Erica Badu's cooch.
Oh.
First of all, the fact that this is a trend at all, like Gwyneth Paltrow started, which is some bullshit.
I know nothing about this.
Wait, what?
What?
I have never
talked about it on this podcast.
I must have blocked this out.
In fact, we had that conversation because Erica Badu has a candle that smells like her cooch, and we talked about it. Had to smell like, listen, had to smell like sandalwood.
My vagina smells fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But I don't want a candle that smells like that.
That I would want to fill the room.
No. Do you know? No. No.
You know what I mean? Or I'd be like, oh, I just took a shit in the bathroom. Let me light my vagina candle.
No. Like, what do their vaginas smell like that you would want it in a candle form?
They don't smell like my vag. My vag doesn't stink.
No,
per
me either. It smells like
smells
a vagina.
Like a vagina.
Yeah,
which
same.
Is not like, I don't want a body spray.
Right. It doesn't smell like pineapples.
It's
like,
not
what are
the
you
Victoria's
doing?
Secret body spray.
It's weird.
She said I took a shit. Let me spray like my vagina candle. I can't.
It's not
air in the room out.
What company is doing this? Do you have to send them a sample? Are there
and
scent scientists that
also
work on this?
The pH of the vagine changes.
Mm-hmm. That's
yes.
right.
So your vagina is going to smell different from day to day.
Correct.
I am crying.
This is my Tuesday vagina.
Right.
Smell.
Oh, yeah, this is me after the gym vagina
Ew.
Smell. You know
this
what
is
I mean?
Post period vagina.
Yes. Exactly. It's weird. It's so weird. And you just spent $75 on something that you have at home if you really want to smell it.
I know, right? Yeah.
Are you taking it with you traveling? Like you need it on the go? Why? Why?
Oh my God.
I don't understand it. I will never understand
it. Somebody comes
it.
In to clean out his hotel room. God, it smells
you know
like
what?
Sex in
Actually,
here.
I know. I'm sorry. Laughing at my own joke. God. I know what I'm going to put in for White Elephant next.
Oh.
Next White Elephant. It's just going to be a candle that smells like my own vagina.
Wow.
Noted.
No wow.
Skip wow. This year's Christmas party.
So then what's next? What's in it for the girls? Are we getting balls?
No. Why balls? Would we want no. it ever? Like, I don't want anything.
This is the lovely aroma of taint.
Like what? I just... You know what, though? I have to say, the one who's the most bold is fucking Gwyneth Paltrow, because she's trying to share it with strangers. She's selling it to strangers.
Oh, my God.
Which is just like,
bold.
Why would anybody want a candle that smells
Wait,
like a cooch?
So did Erica Badu?
Yeah, oh, that's true. She did. But she wasn't the first one.
But Erica Badu is a saint.
And I would rather smell her vagina, because as we said last time, it probably smells like sage.
Yeah.
Sandalwood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
No, I'd burn that candle for sure.
Why do I feel like Gwyneth Paltrow smells like yogurt?
Oh God! You're like it's the healthy play. Bacteria. Ew!
Oh God! Oh. And weirdly vanilla.
just like, after scent.
Is that Yoplait? Vanilla Yoplait?
You know hers wouldn't be Yoplait. It would be like French yogurt. Like.
Wow. Well. I think we nailed it. We got to do the hot drummer.
Yes.
Fuck, Mary, Kill.
Yeah.
This is a hard one.
Yeah.
Yes. So we got Tommy Lee, Dave Grohl, and Travis Barker. This isn't hard for me.
No.
I know what I'm going to do.
It's hard for me either.
I'm going to marry Dave Grohl.
Amen.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I feel like there's no other option. He
feels
seems
like the right choice.
So fucking nice. Is
so
hot.
So fun. Is so hot.
Yeah.
Is so talented.
Yeah. Yes.
Such a good father.
Yes.
Like, so nice to
volunteers
fans.
Volunteers. Is so nice to fans.
Great stories.
Yes. I love it. I love it. I love it. I am going to marry Dave Grohl. I'm going to fuck Travis Barker. There's some, like, skinny boy drummer energy coming from him that I'm like, this is going to be fun. Like, it's going to be fun. It's going to be good.
Sweaty.
Very.
So
yes.
sweaty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's surprisingly strong. And he's one of those that, like, you look at him and you're like, oh, I bet he's not that strong. But then he surprises you.
He's like, also one strong. That you look at him and you're like, eh. And then you see, it's like packing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think early days into this podcast, we did Tommy Lee, and I'm going to say the same thing now that I said then, which is that I feel like I'm going to catch something from him.
You're definitely
it's going to hurt when I pee later, and I don't want that. So.
I am looking forward to that Pam and Tommy.
Yeah.
Movie. Yes. Yeah.
You know that shit's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's going to be interesting. But yeah, I have to do the exact same thing. The exact same thing. Like I said, I've had a massive, massive crush on Travis Barker since watching that video. I
tear it up.
I am the person that gets, depending on your gender, either incredibly turned on or incredibly inspired by people that are very talented at something.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter what the thing is.
Yeah, we heard your diary entry last time. News.
I cried at Beyonce singing at the Super Bowl. I always cry when people do big things.
You're doing so good.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm so proud of you. But yeah, or it just really fucking turns me on. So yeah, Travis.
And he's hot. Like, it looks like he's having sex when he's playing the drums.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, okay.
Okay.
That energy is yeah.
palpable. Yeah. So
and
yeah.
I do want to say, I think Tommy Lee is hot.
Yeah.
Like, I do think he's hot.
Yeah.
I would never tell anyone.
No.
If I ever had sex with Tommy Lee, and I would leave in shame.
I would rip those diary notes out of my book.
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
Evidence? What evidence?
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
I even ripped a few pages back so you couldn't do the
yeah.
getting in the imprint.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm a little torn on this one, and here's why. And enter hate mail.
Oh no. I'm scared.
I know.
Do it.
Rip the bandaid off.
I'm nervous.
Do it.
I like Dave Grohl, but
don't think he's handsome, do you?
No, it's not that. There is something incredibly phony about him to me.
Ooh.
And I can't put
hot take.
I know.
Hot take.
Cassie.
I know. You're like, let's put her name out there so we right. know exactly
Christina's
who
like,
to write that.
Do not direct your shit to me.
That's right. For some reason, a lot of things that I say correctly go right to Christina. And so so then if this bad comes, it's me.
This is Christina. I love Dave Grohl. Dave Grohl, if you're listening, which of course you are.
Why wouldn't
Christina
you be?
Loves you.
Why wouldn't you? Keegan loves you too. Let's hang out.
Listen, Dave, I'm here for you to prove me wrong. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just like he's too good to be true. And right. You know how skeptical I am. I trust no one. I have this very, and it's just, you know, blame whatever. But there is something about me that's like, I don't know if I'm buying it.
Okay.
I think that I can't put my finger on it.
I understand.
Can't put my finger on it.
So what are you going to do with him?
That's why I'm undetermined. Because there's not really a great options across the board on the marriage front.
No, there is not.
So it just, I'm going to marry Travis Barker and I am going to fuck Tommy Lee. So there you go.
Okay.
There you
go.
All
right. Okay. All right.
And I'm going to fuck Tommy Lee because you know that motherfucker's good in bed. We've seen.
I mean,
we've seen.
And we know what he's working with too.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, that's true. Just double up on them condoms, girl. Like, get it.
That's what they're there for.
Make sure you get a sample for the candle.
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. What if that's the next thing?
Like, we sell candles.
Oh, my God. I hate it. I'm sorry.
Seed sandal.
Oh.
Spunk candle.
It puts a whole new spin on candle or sandalwood, doesn't it?
But like, does wood? It even okay? We don't need to go down this road. Okay. It's fine. We can talk about it offline. I feel like
is this going to be another pussy
athlete's pussy? Oh my gosh! Well, this is my worst date podcast. Yeah. I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan.
I'm sorry.
Well, you guys want to take five, and we'll come back with stories.
Yeah.
And we're back. Okay, I'm going to kick us off with stories. This one is a little different than stories that we usually tell on here. Okay. But I think it applies.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I was in my upper mid-20s and working at your standard office job in Atlanta. Anyone who has ever worked in an office job knows all about the encouraged, read forced, happy hours that take place. Uh-huh. Usually about once a month or once every couple of months. It's a period of time in which it's mutually agreed that you all love your jobs and would happily volunteer to spend a Thursday night drinking with the people that you are contractually obligated to see at least 40 hours each week already.
Yeah, yeah.
We've all been there,
yep.
Right? Where it's like you have to go because your boss has to see that you're there. But like, come on.
But yeah, okay. Come on.
Anyway. At one of these functions, I got more than slightly tipsy on chain restaurant mojitos. By the end of the night, I realized I was too drunk to drive home, and the only person who was still there from my department was a woman about my age. Let's call her Susan. I'd seen Susan around the office. She was a bit quiet and a little weird, but overall harmless. Her favorite subjects seemed to be Marvel comics and obscure Japanese movies. Not shaming either thing, just trying to paint a picture. I figured, what the hell? Sat down next to Susan and started chatting her up. Conversation was a little awkward at first, but I'm a generally outgoing person and was able to pry her out of her shell. Soon, I couldn't get her to shut up. Yeah. About an hour later, in the middle of talking about the Princess Mononoke costume that she was making herself for Halloween.
Perfect.
Amazing.
Yeah. Incredible. Also, a great Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Honestly. I realized I was stunningly sober. I gracefully wound the conversation down and excused myself to go home, work the next day and all that. Well, after this, Susan was stuck to me like glue.
Aww.
She visited my cubicle a dozen times a day and sent me IMs so often I had to mute them. It was a lot.
Lonely.
But I felt sorry for her.
I love her.
It was clear to me that she didn't have many friends and certainly not any at work, so I tried to be as polite as possible. Still, when the next happy hour rolled around, I got there early and left as soon as my boss had seen that I had gone to the happy hour. Luckily, Susan had been stuck on a call and we missed each other. The next day at work, she was furious that I hadn't waited for her. It was clear that she had been looking forward to hanging out with me outside of work hours. I made up some excuse as to why I had to leave early and she calmed down, but it definitely freaked me out.
Ooh.
Fast forward a couple of weeks, and I come into work, and Susan is just gone. When I tried to figure out what happened, no one could or would give me a clear answer. I can't say I wasn't relieved to see her go, but the whole thing was just so sudden and weird. Around this time, I started dating a guy that had been adjacent to my group of friends for a long time, Josh. Things were going really well, and I liked him a lot. He was nice, funny, patient, and liked me a whole lot. Real long-term boyfriend material. Well, about a month into dating, Josh started getting messages on Facebook from an obvious burner account telling him terrible things about me, saying that I had STDs, that he didn't know the real me, and that I should stay away.
Oh, no.
Luckily, Josh didn't believe any of it. He printed out the messages and brought them to show me. I was super freaked out, but we decided we would just keep an eye on it and hope it goes away. The messages continued, but they were much of the same. Nothing escalated until one day I walked into my apartment and saw an envelope on the floor. This wouldn't typically be that odd. My door had one of those slots for mail, except the mail had already come that day. I picked it up and opened it, and inside was a message that read, "Bitch," in all capitals.
Oh, what?
Now I was scared. I called Josh, and he came right over. I wasn't ready to go to the police yet, but I stayed at Josh's that night. The next week at work, I was really upset and venting to some friends in the break room. One of them got noticeably uncomfortable. When I asked what was wrong, she said, "Okay, but you can't tell anyone I told you."
Okay.
Oh, I love that. Okay. You can't tell anyone I told you this.
I'm just going to tell the whole internet.
Yes.
Apparently, Susan had been let go for sending emails and IM messages to people in my department and even higher ups writing scathing things about me. Much like the messages Josh was receiving. It was insane. Why would she do this? Was this about me not going to happy hour with her? She was clearly obsessed with me and had made out our friendship, to be more than it actually was. I was so upset by this that I actually left work early. I couldn't believe no one had mentioned this to me before. I went to Josh and told him. Then I found Susan's Facebook page, determined to confront her myself. I sent her a message and told her to leave me alone. I could see that she read it, but never responded. After that, the messages died down. Then one day, Josh and I were sitting at a bar when out of the blue, up comes Susan. I was terrified. She started screaming obscenities at us. And at one point, I thought she was going to punch Josh. It was completely wild. Luckily, the manager of the bar was standing nearby and saw the whole thing. He quickly had Susan escorted out.
Wow.
I went to the police to file a restraining order the next day. I started staying with Josh more and more and eventually moved in with him. Eventually, things died down. She stopped messaging, and I don't know where she is now, which is actually a little frightening. I'm glad nothing more happened, but it has always stuck with me how someone can make so much out of your relationship, so much more out of your relationship than it actually was, and how you never know what's going on in someone else's head.
No shit.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Scary.
You
guys, some like single white female shit.
You know how much I like. I'm scared of obsessive behavior like that.
Oh yeah. Especially when you have like no idea. You know what I mean?
And why would you think, I mean, that's such a innocent thing, you know, like you go and chat up somebody. It's something that I would totally do.
Right.
You know?
Okay. Well, after that frightening note.
Sorry.
All right. So, this guy lived an hour away, which I used as an excuse to say I wasn't interested. Why wasn't I interested? He sent me IMs of himself holding out a rose for me. Barf.
Oh.
I think I could have written this.
How did he take those pictures? Did he set up a timer on his camera?
I hope so.
Stand in front of it. Wait the 10 seconds.
You're like, what is this, Bachelor?
Mm.
Gross. But he asked if we could have coffee if he came to town sometime. Should have said no. He caught me off guard one day and I somehow agreed to coffee and a movie. When we met for coffee, he pulled me bodily out of my car and started aggressively kissing me.
Ugh.
I pushed him off me.
We just met.
Yes. And told him that we were there to have coffee. As we sat at the table, I couldn't help noticing he was staring at me like Pepe Le Pew stared at a cat with stripes on his back from the old WB cartoon. I could almost see the hearts in his eyes. It was very unnerving.
I don't like it.
I tried to make conversation by asking what brought him to town. He told me he was applying for a job at the local hospital. I remember him telling me previously that he had worked as a nurse, owned his home, and shared custody of his daughter. So I asked why on earth he would want to work in my town. He said this: I quit my job this morning. I want to work here to be closer to my girlfriend.
Oh, no.
Danger, danger, danger.
Oh, no.
I should have left at that point. I instead decided to hurry things along and get the movies over with. I was dismayed to find the movie theater empty, probably because in my rush to finish this awkward date, I chose a very early showing. I spent most of my energy trying to block his face and hands without making things more awkward.
I hate this.
Then he announced he was getting popcorn. I was so relieved until he passed in front of me with his boner out in my face. I can't.
No.
No.
He asked if it would be a good fit.
What?
I told him I just wanted to watch the movie.
What?
He sat back down.
Wait, I'm sorry. We can't just... has any man ever asked you if it's a good fit?
No.
They've been like, what size pussy you got? Like, is this a good fit for you? Like, ew.
By the time I got home, I had several phone calls and texts declaring love. Then by morning, I had over 100 IMs that started out insane and turned psychotic. I blocked him. I closed my profile and I've had to block him from every social network thing ever since.
Oh my goodness. Dude. That's two in a row that we've talked about. Like, just like obsession is so
scary,
frightening. It's so frightening
because it seemingly I mean, it's so random. It feels like, it's like there's nothing you can really do to protect yourself from this.
No movies on a first date, especially a pity date. She wasn't even really into it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll grab coffee with you and then peace out.
That's it.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're committing to at least another 2 hours if you're going to a movie.
The other thing that I really had to learn, and this was something that was just like, that it's okay to not be interested.
Yeah.
Like, you can say that and let it be that. You don't have to do the coffee in the movie to spare somebody's feelings or whatever, because it's better to just not. Because then you don't have to see someone's dick in the movie theater.
Oh my God.
Okay. I got this one from Reddit. I promised I'd never share this, but it feels like the right time.
Oh, that's the best beginning to a story there could be.
I met a girl once when I was at the gym. Such a weird place. Sweaty and pretty disgusting. We started talking about this and that, and we agreed to meet up for a coffee. She texted me later on that day and wanted to postpone and invited me to her apartment for a coffee instead. Now, I'm a pretty nervous guy. Also, when I get nervous, I have a real bad stomach.
Oh, no.
Like Godzilla roar bad.
Honey. Oh.
So, to quench my nervosity, I decided to have a whopping 3 coffees before getting to her place to have some coffee.
In what world would drinking coffee be the thing that's going to calm you down or calm your stomach down? It's anxiety juice.
Tea, my dude. Tea.
Water. Anything.
Like, even if you had a glass of wine would be preferable.
Oh,
like,
my God. Whew. I arrived, we exchanged pleasantries, and I drank fucking 3 more cups.
Are you okay?
Six cups
shit your pants.
Of coffee. Oh, my God. In the midst of a pretty serious conversation, I felt it.
Of course.
Fuck. Yep. My stomach began rumbling like a baritone in his prime. I do not have a great excuse to Usain Bolt myself home. So I excused myself and went to the bathroom, turning on the faucet and tried to, you know, keep it down.
But if you turn on the faucet, they know what's going on.
We know.
Nobody runs the faucet for 10 minutes, you know, like.
No. You can get a shower.
You're washing your face. I shit you not. I started feeling very nauseous due to the reek. And the fact that I've had 6 cups in about 2 hours, so...
It's just coming out of you like lava at this point.
Naturally, I puked in my underwear and it looked like I birthed venom.
What?
Wait, what?
Wait.
What?
So he's sitting on the toilet.
Yes!
Shitting himself. It smells so bad and his stomach's so vile that he then puked.
No!
Coffee puke.
Have you ever shit and puked at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You never have?
Yeah. No, I've had food poisoning before.
I mean, sure. I've done it in close succession.
Yeah.
But never food poisoning, at once.
Food poisoning, definitely.
Yeah.
Fucking trash can in front of me.
Yep. Yeah. It sounds like horrible. He was trying to like double do it and like puke between his legs.
Which is worse because now your nose is in an area where you don't want it to be in this situation. In your underwear. Which means it's also on her floor, by the way. There's no way.
And in your pants.
She was obviously pretty distressed because I had been in there for about half an hour.
No.
And we had only met once before. Oh. So she came and checked up on me and knocked on the door. This, in turn, made me extremely scared.
Oh, no.
So I kind of froze and never answered.
Oh, no.
That's the worst thing you could do.
911 fucking one. Here comes
the police. Did he die? Yeah. I have to get in there ASAP.
Turns out the lock on her bathroom door is scuffed, so she just opened the door
to make sure he didn't die.
I'm with her. Was sitting there with thick black in my underwear with the smell of death hitting her absolutely stunning nose.
Pause. Why is your throw up black? Because the coffee.
Just coffee. If you just have coffee on an empty stomach.
I've never thrown up
like
coffee.
I have. It's if you're doing it on an empty stomach, it's going to be, it's dark. It's not good. It's
the acidity alone.
The acidity is bad. So, yeah. She muttered, oh, what the fuck?
And poor thing. Because she doesn't, you know, that came out without, that was an impulse.
Yes.
That was a reaction.
She's like, why didn't you light the pussy candle?
It was right there.
It was
right there. I had it specially made.
I managed to utter it's not what you think.
Isn't it?
I think it is exactly what I think.
I shut the door. Removed my undergarments from my pants, and then I just fucking ran out of the apartment.
No.
Zero wipe action.
He was shutting the door.
No, he didn't wipe.
Funny. Needless to say, we did not go on a second date.
I bet.
What did he do with his underwear?
I don't know if he left it there or just
he threw it away. 100%. He balled it into a ball and put it in her trash can.
Oh. He fucking Kool-Aid manned out the doors. Like,
he's like, oh yeah. Why isn't there a window in here?
Ooh, wee. That's, you know, I hate to admit it, but a good shit vomit story on this podcast is,
I mean, is it's what we play for.
Pure gold.
It is what we
play
for.
Well, it's just like, you know, listen, dating is nerve wracking, and there are a lot of things that you can do to like calm yourself down.
Three cups of coffee.
Six.
Well, yeah, not total. Yeah, not it, brah.
Mexican food. Not it.
Also, how do you even... I'm a coffee drinker. I drink coffee every day, and I can't go beyond two. Max.
I drink a ton of coffee, and I am still like four cups is like max for me, and that's like over a long period of time, too. That's like if I'm up at six, and then I'm having another cup around noon, I'm reheating coffee or
like
whatever.
11 or something,
But in 2 hours, six cups of coffee in 2 hours?
No.
Like how your heart is going to escape your chest.
Yeah.
Your head has to be like just banging at that point. Oh, God.
And this poor girl's like, he's been in there for a half an hour and she knocks and not hear anything.
I would have like, done this thing. Stranger died in my bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. He's dead. Like, he's dead. Especially if the water is fucking still running.
I know.
Like, oh my
he's
God!
He died. He had a heart attack in there, and he has died.
Gonna open it. It's a Shape of Water situation. Oh. Just
very realistic Shape of Water situation.
Okay. Oh Lord. Okay. So my tainted love this week. Once again, I was inspired by an old Noble Blood episode. This was
yes.
But you know, sometimes there is just something about these old stories where you're just like, especially talk about dealing with people who aren't living in reality. I feel like royals, this aristocracy, especially like back in the day, like it's like they were not living in reality. And so like their shit still feels like tabloid fodder now where I'm just like, what the fuck was happening
here? I want
you
another baby on a horse with its own.
I wish.
That fake story.
I wish.
That Keegan made up.
I wish I had another baby with a bow and arrow story. I really do.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So Caroline Matilda, which I just think is so cute. Caroline Matilda. How cute is that?
I like the name Matilda.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. My kitty cat's name. Caroline Matilda was born in London sometime in July in 1751. I say that because it was very confusing on Wikipedia where it was like either the 22nd. It was like the 22nd of July. And then in parentheses, it was like the 11th by the old calendar or something. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Right.
We're talking about the 1700s, not like the 800s. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Anyway, sometime in July, she was probably a Cancer. Okay.
Got it.
Got it.
And was the ninth and youngest to Frederick, Prince of Wales, and his wife, Princess Augusta. So her dad died suddenly 3 months before her birth. And when she was born, she was given the title Her Royal Highness Princess Caroline Matilda. Her brother was King George III. You might remember him from such hits as the Revolutionary War.
Ooh,
and Hamilton the Musical.
That slaps.
When she was 13, a betrothal was suggested for herself and Christian, Crown Prince of Denmark, who also happened to be Caroline's first cousin.
Ah, yeah. Yes. That also tracks.
Gross, but normal for the time, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
By 14, she, and also fun fact, he was originally betrothed to her older sister, but her older sister had a, quote, weak constitution, which I don't know what that means, but they were like,
every
she's
time
not,
she saw him, she was like, bleh.
She's not viable. We can't. So get the 13-year-old out here. Bring her out.
Yeah.
So Caroline... So by 14, she was officially betrothed. And then by 15, she was married to her 17-year-old cousin, who by this time had become king of Denmark. His father had passed away. After who was also named Frederick. There's a lot of Fredericks in this story. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
So Caroline and Christian were married by proxy, meaning that Christian wasn't actually in attendance. They had Caroline's brother, Prince Edward, act as a stand-in for the ceremony.
Okay.
Royal families are fucking weird. Like, it's weird, you know?
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, Caroline set off for Denmark, where an official wedding ceremony took place. Marriage celebrations and balls lasted for another month, and then Caroline Matilda was officially crowned Queen of Denmark in Copenhagen. Now, and she's like fucking 15.
Right.
Queen of Denmark. Now, Caroline had been raised by her mother, who intentionally kept her away from court life, so she had no real interest or knowledge of politics or court intrigue. While Danish court at first welcomed her with open arms, she was said to be like beautiful, but not so like there's a quote where she's like beautiful, but not so beautiful that she's threatening to women, but beautiful enough that she caught attention of men. So she's kind of that like middle of the road
girl next door.
Right. Huh. Exactly. So at first they were like, yes, welcome, you know, but they quickly were turned off because her personality was so laid back. Like, she's like, I don't give a fuck about gossip. I don't care about any of this shit.
Well, you sound boring.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can't stand you.
Exactly. It didn't help that her new husband, Christian, was openly cold to her, and it was no secret that he was in no hurry to consummate their marriage. Mm. There was a lot of speculation as to why this might be. Some say that it
she's
was
15 and a
well,
child.
He's 17, so oh. I don't know. Some say that it was that Christian resented that he was forced to marry by the court, who believed that marriage would lead to improvement in his mental health problems.
Ooh.
And some believed that the king preferred the company of men to women, though I'm not so sure about this because he did have many well-documented affairs with women and often visited courtesans in Copenhagen. So who's to say about his sexuality?
Right. Maybe, yeah. Maybe he just didn't like her.
Yeah.
Just like, didn't like her.
It's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't like her candle.
It's not my vibe. So, of course, the rumor mill was running wild because they're like, why doesn't he like her? And like, you know, he's the king. So what he thinks of her really affects her status in court.
Right.
Basically. So poor Caroline. She is a teenager. She's in a new place with a husband who openly dislikes her. It's a bummer. Oof. Right? Like, oof. You're away from your family.
You're a teenager, those emotions.
Oh, yeah. Yes, amplified 1,000,000%.
Her diary.
Yeah, I for real. The only person who she was really close to was her lady in waiting, Louise von Plessen, who thought that the king's friends were bad influences, and so she sought to keep her away from his friends, which also meant that she kind of kept him away from the king, right? Like, mm-hmm. Which wasn't that hard because he didn't like her that much anyway. But her influence backfired because she was a little older than Caroline and she gave her some bad advice. She was like, listen, you know what men like? Men like you to play hard to get, right? They want to work for it a little bit. So when the king's like, whatever person went over and was like, hey, he wants to see you. He's ready to have sex with you and consummate this marriage. She was like, tell him you're busy, right?
Yeah.
Like, play hard to get. So she did. And it had the opposite effect. He was like, okay, well then fuck her then. Like, I have no interest in her. And it further estranged the couple. So they were together for nearly a year before Christian's old tutor finally convinced him that he needed to consummate the marriage for the sake of the succession. So they finally did, and Caroline gave birth to their son, Crown Prince, you guessed it, Frederick. As soon as their kid was born, Christian fucked off to Copenhagen, where he continued to frequent brothels, where he would orchestrate elaborate orgies and drink to excess. So he was just...
He's like, I did the thing. I'm done.
Yeah. Bye. He's like, this was my only thing I had to do. But before he left, he had Louise von Plessen, her only friend, exiled, leaving Caroline even more isolated. So after his gallivanting around Copenhagen, Christian took a long tour of Europe. And while he was gone, our girl Caroline got herself some new friends. She became friends with this badass group of ladies who were notorious for their love affairs. And they wrote letters to Caroline and they were like, girl, you got to get out, right? Get your groove back. They were encouraging her to participate more in social life, dance, and flirt. They were like,
this is what friends are for.
Right. They're like,
in a bad relationship, your
husband's
will
gone.
Tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, he ain't shit, girl. He shouldn't be treating you like this.
Mm-hmm. He's
doesn't
out having
he
his fun.
Fuck
you can
you
go
are.
Have your fun.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. So there was even a rumor that made its way back to Christian while he was touring Europe that Caroline was having an affair with a handsome actor and singer named Latour. Right? I know.
Yeah.
Tour.
And how.
It sounds fake, but yeah. Okay. Though it was widely believed to not be true, this enraged Christian because of course it did. He's
like, I don't want her, but I don't want anyone else to want her either.
Yeah, this is some bullshit. So when he returned from Copenhagen, he had Latour exiled. Ugh. He's just exiling everybody who's like close to Caroline. But also when he returned, he brought with him a man named Johannes Frederick Struens, and he as his royal physician. So he had met Struens on his travels during
Excuse me,
which
Dr. Struens, I do have this little thing on my behind. I'd love you to look at it.
During his travels, he had met Struens when the king had a mental breakdown. So it's unclear what Christian actually suffered from, though modern historians speculate that it could have been a form of schizophrenia that caused highs and lows in his cognition, where he would go in and out of lucidity and he was prone to bouts of rage during his low moments.
This is what happens when you have sex with your cousin.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Struens was called in and seemed to be able to handle Christian's instability. Like no other doc, they called in a lot of doctors. Other people seemed to have failed. Mm-hmm. This guy, you know,
got it,
got a handle on it. And it was a great relief, you can imagine, to king's advisors. They were like, oh, thank God, you know. So even though Struens was a common born German, God forbid, they basically begged him to return to Copenhagen. They were like, please come be the royal like physician. We need you.
Exactly.
So initially, Caroline hated Johannes during one of the king's episodes. So the king had an episode while they were on the road, and he was basically going on and on about how much Caroline Matilda sucked, how boring she was, how stupid she was, et cetera, et cetera. So Johannes was like, all right, well, if you have such a bad relationship with your wife, you should take up with this mistress that you like a lot, because he believed that a relationship with an intelligent woman would make him more mentally stable, which also...
Yeah.
Women are not.
We're not your therapist.
Therapy. Yeah.
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 But they were like, it'll make him more mentally stable. It'll make him more easier to handle. So it failed, of course. But Caroline, word had gotten back to her that he had done this. And she resented the effort made by Johannes to provide her husband with a mistress. And it made her hostile towards him.
Yeah.
As time went on in court, Johannes began to like the queen, and he felt sorry that her husband was so cold and indifferent towards her because Christian listened to Johannes more than he listened to anyone else. Johannes slowly began to convince the king to show more affection to Caroline. And so for Caroline's 20th birthday, he was able to get the king to throw her an elaborate 3-day party.
Oh.
He got her to basically like give her more privileges, just being nicer to her overall.
Oh, that's nice.
Right. So, though outwardly, the objective may have been to bring the king and queen more close together, in reality, Caroline knew that this was all Johannes's idea.
Right.
Oh,
she's going to get Cyrano de Bergerac.
So, she began to warm to him.
Yeah.
Later in the summer of 1769, Caroline Matilda had an attack of dropsy, and at the insistence of her husband, she had Struens come to treat her, and he helped her recover.
It hurts right here.
Lower.
So he helped her to recover, and then later that year, there was an epidemic of smallpox that raged through Copenhagen, and her confidence in him was further strengthened when he had very modern and progressive ideas about everything, but also about medicine. And so at this time, inoculating people was new, right? They were like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
But she was very worried about her son, Crown Prince Frederick. You know, he's vulnerable. She's like, he's going to get smallpox. He's the heir. He's going to fucking die. I'm going to have to fuck my husband again. I really don't want to have to do that.
Right. Amen.
You know, Struens was like, well, let's inoculate him. Let's give him a vaccine. So
vaccines save lives.
But he had some real anti-vaxxers against him who were on the king's like court, who were basically like, you're going to do what? Excuse me? Like, he is a baby. He's the heir to the throne of Denmark. You're going to, what if this backfires? Like, you're going to give him the illness? Like, what the fuck? But luckily, the queen and king both trusted Struens so much that they were like, do it. And Crown Prince Frederick was successfully inoculated.
Yeah.
As the queen and Struens became closer, the king's mental health deteriorated. As it did, he entrusted more and more of his daily state affairs to Struens, one of the only men that he trusted. Struens became a privy counselor and was successful in encouraging the king to fire his most senior minister, who was a conservative man who the queen greatly despised. So this guy made the queen's life hell. He was instrumental in getting Louise von Plessen exiled and things like that. So she's like, thank you. It was around this time when Caroline and Struens's affair really started kicking off. So though people had suspected that the pair were unusually close for a while, they had kept it pretty quiet until now. So rumors began to swirl about the two around court, and things got so bad that Caroline's brother, George III, wrote to his sister and basically told her that she needed to chill the fuck out. He was like, hey,
yeah,
you're being real out there with this shit. You gotta calm down.
Reel it in.
So at the behest of the Dowager Queen, Christian's stepmother, the servants began to leave rows of sand outside of Caroline and Caroline and Struens' bedrooms so that they could check for footprints in the morning between the two rooms.
Okay.
When Caroline's mother came to visit, presumably to tell her daughter that she needed to end the affair, Caroline greeted her mother in breeches. Scandalous. And there are actually paintings of Caroline Matilda in men's clothes. Ooh. Because she was trying to emulate Catherine the Great, who often wore men's clothing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. She's like, Catherine the Great does it. And her mom told her, like, well, you're not Catherine the Great. Like, this is Denmark. This isn't Russia. You can't fucking do this shit here. Like, basically said that to her. And she told her mom to mind her business.
Okay.
She was like, you're going to let me.
Motherfucking Queen of Denmark.
Yeah. Excuse me. No.
What? I'm sorry. What's your name? I don't know
I'm,
you.
I'm sorry. Your husband was never the king. So let's talk about that, mom. But Johannes did not leave Caroline's side during the entire visit. So she didn't get her daughter alone to be able to be like, you need to get out, right? Like, yeah. This is not a good look. So she had to tell the local British minister to caution Caroline about her behavior. If Christian, the king, knew he or cared that his like bestie and his wife were taking up together, he was too ill to express it by this time. So from March 1771 to January 1772, Denmark entered a time known as the Time of Struens. This man, commoner from Germany, had managed to infiltrate the cabinet, eliminate all of his opponents, and make himself a count while the king was indisposed.
Oh, shit.
He passed a statute that meant that his signature on documents would have the same effect as if it were signed. As if it were signed by the king himself.
Hey, secure the bag.
Damn. You know?
During this time, Struens has basically unlimited power. He signed over 1,000 cabinet orders, or the equivalent of more than 3 per day.
Wow.
Now, when Christian's right-hand men had chosen Johannes for the job, they knew that he had written in his home country some troublingly liberal political pamphlets in the past.
Oh, no.
But they had no way of knowing that his beliefs would infiltrate the Danish system of governance the way that they did. So his reforms were sweeping and progressive. During his time in power, he abolished torture, the slave trade, and capital punishment.
How dare you?
He ensured full freedom of the press, reduced the army, eliminated punishments for illegitimate children, and reformed universities and medical institutions.
Damn,
he did not waste any fucking time.
I want to fuck him.
Right?
You know?
Honestly, he was like, listen, the French are doing it. What are you guys doing?
Right?
Yeah.
He's like, I see an opening and I'm going to take it.
Good for you, dude. I love this.
The reason why like Denmark is consistently rated as like one of the happiest countries in the world.
There you go.
My new boss is from there and he cannot understand a lot of the way things are done here. Yeah.
We'll talk about it at the end here. Okay. Where he fucked up though is when he started to mess with the lives of the nobles. This is perfect, actually, for having talked about like billionaires at the beginning of this.
Mm-hmm.
So he reduced the privileges of the nobles and taxed things like gambling and luxury horses in order to fund orphanages. How dare he? I know. You know you can't go around messing with rich people's horses, Johannes.
No.
For what?
For orphans? Children?
For children?
Not even children, guys. These are orphans.
Poor children.
Gross.
Wow.
The worst.
But the nobles are starting to get pissed. They're like, you have made our extremely comfortable lives slightly less comfortable.
How?
Wow.
Wow.
They're like, who the fuck is this guy? Not only were they pissed at Struens, but they were also pissed at Caroline. Neither one of these people were actually Danish. They were like, what the fuck are these people doing in charge? And they knew good and well. So the nobles knew good and well that King Christian was mentally ill. They'd known it for a long time. They'd seen him around court. They were like, okay.
Yeah.
And he was not fit to rule. He'd been sick for a long time. But the common Danish people didn't know that.
Right.
They had worked really hard to keep that from the general public. And they didn't understand why this foreign doctor was now in control and making such vast changes. Because even though they're good changes, I mean, we see the reaction to things like socialism in the United States and people being, even if it's good for you, there are lots of people who are like, whoa, change. I don't like it. It's freaking me the fuck out. Right.
Right.
So not freedoms.
Yeah. They're like, we don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
So rumors began to swirl that the doctor and Queen Caroline were poisoning the king and they had plans to murder him so that they could be together and take over Denmark. Caroline, for her part, did not seem to care much about anything other than just being with Struens. Like, she enjoyed discussing philosophy with him and seemed to overall agree with his more progressive, you know, things. Yeah. But like, in general, she's just like, I'm just happy to be here with you, you know, staying up late nights over red wine, talking about philosophy.
Through sand.
Yeah. Stepping over it. You know what I mean? Right. They even went away for the summer together. And a few months after they returned to court, it was announced that Caroline was pregnant. On July 7th, 1771, she gave birth to a daughter, Louise Augusta. And though the king recognized paternity of the child, most of court agreed that this had to be Struens' kid. They were like, she's officially a princess, you know, but side eye. They're like, she looks a lot like him. The birth of the child further turned public sentiment against Struens, but even more so, because she's a woman, against Caroline Matilda. It got so bad that Struens had to walk back that whole freedom of the press bit to try and control the hatred that was being spread about him and Caroline. He was like, all right, I gave you guys freedom to print whatever you wanted, and you're really running with this shit. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
So by winter, things had gotten so bad that Struens asked Caroline for permission to flee the country. She refused to let him go, saying that she simply loved him too much for him to leave without her. In January of 1772, a group of nobles approached the Dowager Queen, Julian Marie, with manufactured evidence implicating Struens and Caroline in a plot to murder the king. It didn't really make sense because it was like, why would they want the king dead? It was only him being alive, you know, in him being alive that the two had any power at all.
Right.
Because he was an ally to them because he's like, do whatever you want. I trust you. And him being in power was the only thing that allowed them to wield any power of their own at all. So it wouldn't make sense that they would want him dead.
Right.
But it's quite likely that Julian Marie knew that this was bullshit. But it was also well known that she not only resented Caroline Matilda, but she also resented the fact that her mentally ill stepson Christian was on the throne when she had a son of her own who she felt was clearly more fit to lead. So she was like, if we can get these people out of the way, we're going to get them out of the way. So on January 16th, Caroline Matilda, Struens, and one of their closest friends and allies were arrested in their beds. Caroline was brought to new chambers where she was kept under house arrest, completely alone, except for her infant daughter, who she was still breastfeeding. The next morning, the nobles who had conspired against Caroline and Struens loaded King Christian onto a carriage and paraded him around the city of Copenhagen to demonstrate that the king had been rescued and was now safe.
Okay.
So he was being used as a pawn as well. Caroline remained steadfast, refusing to confess or implicate Struens in any way. Then they showed her a signed confession from Struntz in which he claimed that Caroline had seduced him. Okay. He blamed her for everything and said that she had full control of everything he did while they were together.
Oh, no.
I know.
Obviously but fake.
We also don't know what he was put through either. Yeah. Oh, you know, we don't know.
Yeah.
Heartbroken, Caroline gave up. She signed the confession that was put in front of her. After Struntz was found guilty of usurpation of royalty, his right hand was cut off. He was publicly beheaded and drawn and quartered.
Oh, that's a lot.
Be intense. Well, he plotted to kill the king.
You only need to do like one of those things.
I mean, cutting off his head
feels like a finality. Like,
yeah.
Why the drawn and quartered? He's dead already.
Yeah.
Like the hand, I'm like, oh, I guess you just wanted him to feel pain. Before you cut his head off.
Right.
It's a lot. It feels extra.
They really didn't like him.
I guess not.
Though Caroline did not know the time of Struntz's execution, she said later that she intuitively knew the moment it happened. Caroline Matilda was given a lawyer who said that the queen was innocent and her confession was signed under pressure and solely to protect Struntz. Gossip about King George III's criminal sister had all of Europe vacuuming the grass, which I am sure George did not appreciate, given that he was only a few years away from going to war with the colonies. He's like, guys, I have other things I need to be focusing on right now.
People are throwing tea over here. They're throwing tea.
It's getting really intense.
Really intense. I need you to settle.
Everyone needs to stay focused.
Right.
But still, it was his sister. What was he supposed to do? So he negotiated her release, even going so far as to casually threaten an attack at sea if she was not freed. And we all know.
Fuck with British Navy.
That's right. We all know. So in the end, the judge made the following ruling. Caroline Matilda's marriage with Christian would be dissolved. Her dowry would be returned to England. Okay. She would retain her right to a pension and her title as queen, and she would go to live in exile in Hanover at one of her family's estates, Selcastle. All in all,
it's not that bad a deal.
You got your money back.
Yeah. You get to get, you know, she didn't like it there. She didn't like home, dude. Yeah, so
right.
She got a nice castle. I mean, like, goodbye. Sounds legit.
And actually, her exile sounds very white collary prison-y. You know, she was visited often by family members. She built a small theater and a large library for entertainment.
Yeah.
She spent most of her days working for charities for poor children, though she never saw her own children again.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't like that either.
Meanwhile, in Denmark, Julian Marie and her son took over as regent and eliminated every single progressive cabinet order that Struntz had signed. 3 years into her royal exile, Caroline Matilda died of scarlet fever at the age of 23.
Oh, what? My God.
All of this happened
very fast. Whoa.
Her cousin husband, King Christian, lived for another 33 years. He spoke often with regret over having lost his good friend, Dr. Struntz, though he never spoke the same about his wife.
Yoinks.
The good news. When Caroline Matilda and Christian's son came of age, he managed to physically wrestle back power from his step-grandmother and uncle. He punched his uncle in the face.
Yeah.
And when he did, he reinstated many of the progressive policies Struntz had initially put in place, going even further to eliminate serfdom from Denmark entirely.
Yes.
So he had grown up around Struntz, like, as kind, because, you know, his dad was indisposed most of the time. So he grew up with this guy as kind of like a father figure for a lot of his childhood. So when he had the opportunity, he was like, put all that shit back.
That's awesome.
Yay.
Oh, what a great story.
Story time was good.
Story time was good. Yeah. I mean, That's a cool, I've never heard of where Denmark's government really came from, you know?
Yeah, like, it's interesting to me because we do think of these Nordic countries as being so progressive, but yeah, it had to start somewhere.
Right.
And it's like, where did it start? Because they were considered like very conservative, especially compared to like France or Germany at the time. They were considered far more conservative, you know? And like, that's where it got to start.
Awesome. Wow, interesting.
Oh my gosh. Oof. It makes me want to watch like a documentary now.
Oh, I know, right? Speaking of, what are you watching right now?
What am I watching right now? Well, I just put on country music, Ken Burns, go to sleep to make Eric watch it. What else are we watching? Gosh, not really that much. I talked to you guys about Haunted. I finally finished season 2. It's not as good. Season 2 feels fake. Whereas season 1, I believed
a little
that
more,
they were really telling stories that they had experienced. Whether or not they're true or not, I believed they were real people.
Yeah.
Season 2 seems like it was completely written.
They weren't expecting to have a hit, and they were like, hurry, we have to get a season 2 out.
Yeah, and season 2 feels fake as fuck. So I'm kind of over that. So I think I'm going to check out Halston.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
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 That's my next one.
I watched the Netflix movie with Amy Adams,
The Woman in the Window. I watched
the
Trixie and Katya Netflix.
I want to watch their thing on it.
So because, funny.
Listen, I feel like my bar for like suspense is so low because I'm just kind of like, I just want to be scared. You know, I don't care. Really. And it's well acted. Mm-hmm. You know, Gary Oldman's in it. Julianne Moore's in it. What's her face from Single White Females in it?
Jennifer.
Yes.
Jason Lee.
So it's very well acted. It's very artistically done. Interesting in that way. Anthony fell asleep, of course.
Of course he did. Yeah.
But
this tracks.
I can't decide.
It looks like something that Cassie would be unable to watch because it's all about people not believing her.
I saw your
head would explode.
Yeah. Very gaslighty.
Yes.
I don't love.
And there's some of the violence towards the end is pretty great. I'm like, Jesus, all right.
Yeah, I don't mind violence so much in movies, as I've learned watching that zombie movie.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
That was over the top. Yeah.
You're a Tarantino fan too. Yeah, so it's true. Used to that
aggressive violence.
I mean, I don't regret having watched it. I'd say if you're interested in watching it, go ahead and watch it. But it's not like, I'm not like, oh my God, you have to. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I have had a bonkers week, which I've told you guys, and I have been going to my... Chris likes to watch TV before he goes to bed, and it has to be one of two things. Very British, quiet talking in the background.
Repair shop perfect. Vibes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anything baking, cooking, Mary Berry.
Yes.
You name it. The other thing is anything super geeky and archaeological. And that has brought me to Josh Gaines' show, which is Legendary Places, I think is what it's called. And it literally is the most perfect thing for me to go to sleep to because it is a nice, quiet visiting of really awesome old cities.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like really cool stories that I want to stay awake for, but my eyes just can't.
I know.
Can't quite.
Yep.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's how Anthony feels about horror movies.
That's how Anthony feels about all movies, I think. Right?
Anthony can fall asleep anywhere.
Yes.
Kind of a gift.
Really is.
It is. A gift and a curse, I'm sure, because then he just wakes up to me glaring at him, sitting next to him, end credits rolling.
How dare you? Well, if you have stuff that we should watch or stories or just want to reach out and say, hey, go to our one-stop shop of website. It's myworstatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers. Cheers.